Hi, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to bring you today's webinar on a very important topic, how to be a marvelous marketer. Sales and marketing are sometimes used interchangeably with one another, but there is a big difference between the two. Sales is what happens after the phone rings, but marketing is what you can do to get the phone to ring in the first place. We're fortunate to have Melissa Nash from ARI Business Collection Services, who is also president of the Florida Collectors Association, to share her tips on how to improve your marketing and increase your company's exposure. This webinar is being produced in partnership with the Florida Collectors Association, and I'm very excited to be working with them. I wanted to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of emails and newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speaker. Melissa Nash is president, CEO, and founder of Accounts Receivable, Inc., based in West Palm Beach, Florida. Since 2007, ARI continues to provide full-service collection services for small and medium-sized businesses, for professional services and governmental agencies, as well as homeowners associations and condominium owners associations. Melissa is recognized as an industry expert. She brings to ARI an in-depth knowledge and over 30 years of business management experience from a broad and diverse range of industries, including retail, wholesale, legal, professional services, nonprofit, and real estate. Melissa and ARI were featured in Inc. Magazine's 11 Top Businesses You Can Start in Your Pajamas for 2009, recognized as a 2011 Woman Extraordinaire by Business Leader Magazine, and in 2016, she was recognized as a Woman in Leadership by the Executive Women's Association. Melissa is the author of How to Get Paid On Time Every Time, an informative and easy to read book about specific solutions to improve cash flow, which was highlighted in Entrepreneur Magazine. Melissa is a certified sales professional and holds a certificate for integrity selling for the 21st century. She's a featured speaker at many regional and national international conferences on the topic of receivables and cash flow. She's also an active member of the Executive Association of Palm Beaches and serves as a board member for Junior Achievement of the Palm Beaches and Treasure Coast, and West Palm Beach Police Athletic League. The format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Melissa. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the presentation is ongoing or when the presentation is concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the questions tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net and through the Florida Collectors Association. With that, let me turn the microphone over and introduce Melissa Nash to begin her presentation. Melissa?
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike, thank you so much for the great introduction. And it was a lot to read for everybody after lunch. I hope that everybody is wide awake. It should be after lunch for everybody here in Florida. I want to thank you, Mike, so much, and say that Florida Collectors Association is very excited about our partnership with you. And we're working very hard to bring increased value to our membership. So if you're on the board and you're a member, if you're on the phone and you're a member of FCA, I want to say thank you. If you're not yet a member, if you're a future member of FCA, I want to say welcome aboard. We look forward to having you be a part of our team. Today's interesting kind of conversation when we started putting everything together. And so beginning with the end in mind, the idea is how are we going to market our collection agency and what we want to do? What I wanted to do is to share with all of you some of the tips and tricks that we use here and that I think are vital in our role and how we go forward with running our agency. Some topics that we're going to cover today is how do you get the most out of press releases? I'm going to spend a lot of time on this today. I think that press releases have a wonderful return for the value that you give in them and what you can get back in return. I want to really talk about how to engage in your local community, how to partnership there. It's going to bring you brand recognition. It's going to give you a lot of elbow time and one-on-one time with decision makers who may have the ability to hire your firm and what you need to do with them other than just a direct sales call. And then how to communicate strategically with what's happening inside your organization and what you want to do. And at the end, I hope that we'll have enough time and we'll get some good questions and that I can try to answer some specific questions for you. The first thing that I wanted to cover today is the idea of a press release and how do you really get your return on investment from a press release. The first thing that you should do is to, and I kind of probably typed this backwards, but the first thing you should do is make sure that you're hiring a local professional. It's not difficult to go online and to find the template for a press release, the format that you have to put it in. You have to double space it, the different things that you have to do. What are the contents to put in a press release? What's really important is that you have the address book, that you have the contact list, and you have the ability to send it out. You can go online, you can find two or three magazines, you can find two or three newspapers, but your professional will have the relationship with the editors. They're going to have their relationship with the media professionals that will take your press release, it will add credibility to it, and then you're looking at getting published. So the idea is that you're looking to have credibility to the media. The media is going to say that you have credibility when you have a professional who sends that out. Just on a side topic, I will tell you that you can hire a PR professional on a monthly retainer basis. You can also hire a PR professional on an as-needed basis and kind of pay for press releases and things as you go. Whichever form is best for your firm, I would encourage you to begin to build a relationship and to look for that professional and that person that you can partner with in your community, because that's going to be the number one key, in my opinion, to making this investment work for you. The next thing to do with a press release is you really have to talk about what are you expecting from the press release. And just a little bit further, I'm going to show you some press releases that were sent out and the results that our firm received from those press releases. But I want to kind of go through that, establish the results. Are you looking for local exposure? Are you looking for national exposure? Are you looking for exposure in a special industry-specific terms? You know, are you looking for something in the medical? Are you looking for something in the government? Are you looking to just brand yourself to the industry and show yourself? So try to set those expectations so that you have something to measure it against. When you create a press release, think about the stories that you can tell to consistently put yourself out there, because that is a free way of telling your story to continually, you know, plant the seed. And the idea is that after seven times of somebody seeing your name, your brand, or something like that, you'll actually become a permanent memory point. So different things that you could think about in telling your story is, do you have promotions within your organization? Do you want to show that you promote within? Do you want to take a key employee, and do you want to advertise them out to the public? Do you want to talk about a new hire? Have you recently brought somebody new on that came from a different industry, and maybe for some reason you want to advertise, hey, we were lucky enough to get this person to come into our organization. Another thing that you can do is talk about your community involvement, whether it's directly, is it your office that's doing a walk for a local organization? Is somebody in your office really dedicated to animals, children, elderly people? Is there something that someone in your organization is doing that's really there? Use those opportunities to continue to tell your story. Think about innovations and breakthroughs. Has your office, you know, we were recently on a webinar soon, not that long ago, and somebody was talking about one of their IT professionals found a way to save 1 or 2 seconds on every clicks for their collectors. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, now that's an innovative PR story that really should be told to other collection agencies, because if you can find a way to save 2 seconds per dial, maybe we can find a way to save 2 seconds per dial and different things like that. So think about stories that you might want to tell that's going to brand your agency and try to set you apart. And then the next thing to talk about is, once you get published and once that story is told, how are you going to use that story? How are you going to use that information to help market your agency further so that it's just not a one-time story, it was news, it was there, but there are different things that we can do to make sure that we keep branding that. Some of the things that you should talk about is using them for handouts when you go in your sales meetings. Send them to your existing clients. Say, hey, you know, I'm so excited to have this story have been published. Let me just share this with you. Take a look at it. What do you think? Think about how you can incorporate your clients and or a circumstance in with your article to help promote them and build that relationship. And when you're doing it again, you know, when you're sending it out and you're trying to establish your expected results, here's some things to think about. You know, are you looking for the local print? Is there a way that the press release might be able to set up some future interviews with you? And interviews could be with key decision makers. Interviews could be with the news media, where you're setting yourself up as experts. Interviews could also be with possibly your local elected officials, where let's say that they're talking about changing a law or a rule, or maybe they're confused about how a process could work. If we establish ourselves as the professionals, then before they just arbitrarily listen to somebody who's crying because, you know, oh, boo-hoo me, you know, a debt collector called me, you know, they'll say in the back of their mind, you know, hey, I met with Melissa and I know she does this. You know, maybe there's a different side of the story. Maybe there's something else for us to learn. So this is using the press release, and then the eventual article can always set you up as that professional on what you need to do. And it lets someone else tell your story. Talking about a press release, when you write a press release, I always say that we need to begin with the end in mind. We've established the results. We know what we want to do, but begin with the end in mind and what's really the story that we're looking to drive. Okay. And then the first thing that I always ask myself, and I do it internally, is who cares? And the who cares really isn't sarcastic, but there is a little bit of sarcasm to that. You know, the idea is when somebody reads the story, well, who cares if you hired John Doe yesterday? So the question is, who is John Doe? What does John Doe bring to your organization, and how is John Doe going to make your processes, your organization, or something better for you? That's the story of who might care. That's really the story. So, of course, when you're breaking this down and you're passing along your information, you do have to consider the who, what, where, when, and why, but please make sure that you also consider the who cares and try to figure that out. One of the little tips and tricks that I want to share with you is that I'm always trying to find ways to include statistics. And I will tell you that I consistently use ACA to do that, and in my process of what I have to do for doing that. I go to ACA and I go through their statistics. In Florida, we have the Ernst & Young report. So from that, I'll talk about what the statistics are for hires, for how many employees we have, for what our recovery are. And then I can always refer back to that source so that it's not Melissa just quoting a statistic, but I have a referral source to go back to. ACA is also a great way for giving you some industry-specific quotes in regards to things that we're doing in the industry. And then we know that we can't misquote things that are going on because we know that all of those things have been vetted there. So if you go into some of the detail of some of the things that you might see that I've done, you'll see that I use that consistently as my source for what I do.
If I could interrupt the next for thing, 1 second.
Yep, absolutely.
As someone who gets a lot of press releases, I can't overstate enough the importance of the why and the who cares. Because when I see a press release, one of the first questions I ask is, why should I write about this now? You know, is there something going on today, or is it something that happened yesterday that, you know, requires me to publish it now? So I think if you can make sure that there's that news hook, that timeliness element to it, that's also going to go a long way toward making sure that an outlet, gives your press release the consideration it deserves, and, you know, and hopefully ultimately decides to act on it.
You know what, Mike, you're absolutely perfect. And let me reiterate again why it's so critical to use a professional, because I may be really, really good at debt collection, but it doesn't mean I know how to take my story and put it into the narrative of the why that it's going to get picked up and it's going to get published.
Exactly.
You know, so thank you for saying that. What I have here is that these are just some small screenshots that I want to show you. One of my, you know, for my big ego, I will tell you that, of course, you typically know you're going to get interviewed. You typically know when you're going to have some kind of an article because somebody from the media will contact you. They're going to run you through an interview. Someone came to my office. They took my photograph, and I knew that it was going to happen. And I was told that I was going to get a profile in the local business section. I'm always astounded when it's the whole front page of the local business section. And there's everything there. And I'm going to tell you guys in just a second a little funny story after this. But this article started with a press release that came out because I was just elected the president of a local not-for-profit agency. So I personally do a lot of work in the community. I serve on 3 non-for-profit boards. And in this one case, I was nominated as the president. So I use every opportunity I can to try to stay relevant and to stay active in the community. And from that, my PR person writes about me both professionally and the things that we do. She always throws in what I do professionally, and they decide that I was going to be a local business profile, and they themed it, if you can see, paying it back is a model for her business and life. So they incorporated not only what I do professionally, but they incorporated my passion for kids and my passion for the local community. And they really gave me a great featured section here. Of course, I use this to promote to my clients to show, you know, hey, I'm active in the community. We don't just take, we give back. But it was a very good article. The Florida Weekly article happened the year before. And again, it was just it's a local newspaper that kind of comes out. It's not really a newspaper. I guess it's more of a social paper that comes out, but I know that a lot of people follow it with networking events, some business articles and different things that are out there. But again, that article was also picked up as the result of a press release that came out. This one just came out January, February of this year. It's the current issue of the Collector Advisor magazine. This cover article was based upon the press release that I was just installed as the president for the Florida Collectors Association. So Jennifer is my personal PR person, so she developed it, and I grabbed 3 or 4 trade magazines that were laying on the desk, and I said, hey, make sure that these companies get the press release too. It's not something that I had thought about doing before. ACA had always picked it up because I usually tag them when I repost it. And, you know, I was very honored that Joshua picked up the phone and he called me and goes, hey, Melissa, let's talk. Tell me a little bit about you. And through the course of 3 or 4 telephone interviews, he's like, you know, send me some pictures. And I'm like, when is this going to come out? And he said in January. So I kept looking for it and kept looking for it because I wanted to read the article, had no clue that he was going to put me on the cover. So standing on top of the mountain with my arms up, yes, guys, that's me. And I was very honored to do this. And so much so that I went and purchased a whole bunch of additional copies, and we include this now in our marketing materials, use it at my trade shows and different things that we go to, as well as, you know, send it out. And I look forward to having this on the Thanksgiving table saying, woohoo, this is me. Okay, anyway, I hope you guys are laughing a little bit, but I just kind of want to show you that an effective press release that's put together can bring some value back to you. And I use this to market the agency, and I use this to market our conversations with our clients and use some real life stories. And so from every single one of these, we've had our telephone ring. Every single one of these has caused somebody to pick up the telephone and say, hey, I saw your article. I've been meaning to hire somebody. Let me talk to you about this. The front page of the Palm Beach Post yielded, I'm going to say, 6-7 clients within 2 weeks of the article coming out. I mean, my phone was just immediately ringing, and everything attributed back to they read the article, they'd been looking for someone, and we went from there. All right, so now I've talked a little bit about press releases and what you need to do, but a press release is not the only thing that you can do to market your business. You've heard me say that I truly believe in giving back to my community. And so I choose to, if you really study my background, everything for the most part touches around children. That's my passion. But when I do that, when I serve on these boards, I'm surrounded by other business people. I'm surrounded by other business leaders. So I would suggest if you're in the medical industry, look to see if there's some physician organizations in Palm Beach County. We have the Palm Beach County Medical Society, and they get together. They have 2 fundraisers once a year, and we do 0 medical in this office, but I'm finding myself getting pulled into this industry a little bit, and I'll probably never do medical debt collections because it's so specialized, but I don't mind helping out in my community. But there's the Palm Beach County Medical Society, and they do 2 events a year, and all the fundraising that they do so that they can do pro bono medical work and underwrite a lot of medical services for some of the needy. You know, so if you're in the medical industry, you may want to look to something like that. If you do work in government, you may want to find, you know, where are the government decision makers and who are the people that are making decision makers and what boards might you serve on? What communities might you serve with? Because if you build the relationships can turn into the referrals and the referrals can turn into the, what are the opportunities for you to come in and do business with them? And I'm going to tell you that I always give with no expectations in return. So you shouldn't do it and say, oh my gosh, I've been volunteering for a year and I haven't seen any closed contracts yet out of it. You have to volunteer for a year because it's what comes from your heart. But I'm going to tell you that it's always come back to us. But at the same time, that coming back to me pays off not only in relationships and business, but it just so happens that, you know, one of my not-for-profits got featured in the paper not that long ago, and boom, there I am again. And so, you know, when I'm out in public or I'm doing different things in the community, it's like, wow, Melissa, we see you everywhere. You know, wow, Melissa, you know, your agency is doing all of this. How do you have time to do these things? And then it means that I can only compliment the wonderful staff that we have here because they're the ones that are here every day that are really churning out the work and what we need to do. So civic engagement is phenomenal. Being involved in your professional associations, you know, having been involved in FCA has afforded me the opportunity to meet wonderful people like Mike, wonderful agency owners. I hope that I have some friends that are on here with me. I've had the opportunity to meet you, network with you, talk with you, share stories with you, share successes with you, and talk about what we can all do as an industry to raise that bar together and what we need to do with that. So I've very much enjoyed my professional associations. And your professional associations don't have to be just, like I said, the medical society or just be the collectors association. You may want to think about, you know, are there some telecom things that you could join? Are there some business to business? Are there some chambers? You know, whatever specifically you lie in within your industry and how you do it, how can you network your agency just to kind of be out there and be active with what you need to do? And encourage your office to give in. In my office, I tell everybody, I want everybody to participate in the local community. And it's not a, when I say it's a requirement, it's not a you're going to get it terminated if you don't. It's kind of an unwritten rule. I really want everybody to give back to the community in some way. And I try to donate time back. If you're going to do a walkathon, let me sponsor you for $50. If you're gonna give up a Saturday afternoon, let's three or four of us give up a Saturday afternoon and build a house for Habitat for Humanity. So always try to find a way to kind of get back and do that. I'm looking at the time so that we can make sure that we stay on track. So community involvement is another great way. Strategic communications. We do a newsletter. We do our newsletter monthly. The goal of our newsletter is just to be a little bit educational, a little bit funny, and relevant with what's going on. We try to change our industries that are there. The goal of ours is just to be that memory point to say, hey, I'm here for you. Hey, I'm here for you. Hey, I'm here for you. We have we average anywhere between a 23 to 31% open rate. Some quick shortcuts, always begin with a verb, always create an action item that's there, and always try to create something that's a little bit of a humorous that might make them want to look at it. Think of the top of your newsletter as a billboard. You're driving down the highway. You've got seconds to make them decide whether or not they want to read it. Make sure that the whole front of it isn't just one graphic and you're not saying anything or driving any call to action, because you literally have seconds if they're going delete, 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 if it's popping up in their reading pane, for you to try to get that detention and decide if they want to do it. The next thing, the other trick that I want to give you on newsletters is I never send a newsletter in the middle of the night. Send a newsletter in the middle of the night, you come in first thing in the morning, you got 30 emails sitting there, and it's the constant delete, delete, delete. I like to send my newsletters on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I'll send it in the middle of the morning or the middle of the afternoon when I think somebody's sitting in their front of their computer and they have the desire for that mental break to stop whatever they're doing to look at your email, and they might give it a little bit more that's there. You need to think about with your strategic communications, becoming an Ask the Expert. You need to brand yourself as an expert to the community. You need to brand it with your clients. You need to brand it with the industries that you work within. Make sure that you're doing it with your local, doing it with your local elected officials, even if you don't do government work. You want to make sure if something is coming down the path that will affect our industry, that you've got a really good relationship with that elected official, that maybe instead of a yes note or a no vote, maybe when you pick up the phone and you call them, say, hey, I really need to talk to you about this. I don't think you're getting both sides of the story. I don't think you're looking at it that way. Please use your marketing as well to make sure that you have the relationships with those elected officials, because a bad decision can cost us all a lot of money in our processes and procedures and how we do things. Make sure that you're looking at publishing articles as part of your strategic communications. A lot of magazines will have media calendars. They'll talk about if they're going to have an economic forecast in a feature that's coming up in a February or something like that. They'll talk about, 3, 4, 5, 6 months out, you'll know that they're looking for certain content. You can always be pitched by your PR person. Hey, I have an expert for you. I have a contributor for you. If you're looking for someone, we have that there. So look for the opportunity to have articles published, whether the article is solely about you or if you can just be a contributor to the article. That's a great way of doing it. And then when it comes to advertising, I'm just going to say, what are you really getting for your dollar? We do not do a lot of advertising. Sometimes our advertising comes with a sponsorship and here's an ad in a program. So you have to think about, if you're going to a luncheon program for 1 hour, did you pay $500 to have 500 people look at your logo for 1 minute? You have to think about what that investment was and what are you going to get for it? How many people that are in that room that you just paid $500 for an ad for, how many of those people are really decision makers that they have the ability to do that? And then the other thing that I try to stress in our office is, typically if we're going to be hired by somebody, that person's in pain. That person is the struggle of cash flow. That person is in the struggle of, how do they get, their revenue back? How do they recover their money? And they're usually not thinking about their cash flow if they're in an exciting lunch awards program or something like that. So how are we going to get in front of that person? So make sure that you're strategic when you're spending your advertising dollars and what you're going to do. Our newsletters go out to clients and prospects. We do have them separated. There are times that we may write something specifically. Within our constant contact, we have the ability to separate and send to everybody or just send to one of those lists. We do have some industry-specific lists. So if an article is specific only to one industry, we'll send to just that industry. We won't send it to everybody. And then the last thing is that with marketing, you want to make sure that you mine your open reports. So in the middle of that, you have the ability to open your constant contact. You have the ability to look at who's opened it. How many times did they click it? Did they forward it? And then we maybe pick up the phone and call and say, hey, listen, I've really been meaning to call you and follow up with you. Hey, can I take you to lunch? Can I see what's going on that's there? And you do that. So one of the questions that we have is, do we use social media to market our business? And the answer is we have social media accounts. We do post our articles. We do repost our articles. But I'm going to tell you that there's a limitation on what we throw out there. I'm going to find that if somebody is looking to hire you and they're going to the internet and they're putting in that's there, they are typically not looking at the detail of your social media, but it's a way to remain relevant. In our office, we try very hard to distinguish between who's going to hire us and who's angry at us. And I don't want to open the door for someone who might be angry at our firm because we're garnishing their salary or we're doing something like that, to have them come back on an article where we're trying to do some good and we're trying to grow our agency with some negativity and try to do that. So we try to walk a fine line, but the answer is yes, we do have a Facebook, we do have a LinkedIn, we do repost our articles, we do repost our Facebooks, repost our newsletters and do different things like that to have out there. And we don't find that somebody says, hey, I saw you on social media and I decided to give you a call. If I promote something on Facebook or if I promote something through LinkedIn, I try to target it for the decision makers if it's not just relevant information to kind of stay out there. So go follow me. I'm happy to have you follow Melissa Nash or Accounts Receivable Incorporated. And those are both plural words. It was done on purpose. So I'll do ARI dash Accounts Receivables Incorporated. But go follow us and do that. I want to kind of go real quick. How do you handle negative Google business reviews? Great conversation just came up at ACA. Is if you reply to a negative review, are you violating the debtor's rights by publicly disclosing something? I typically say, we're here to address all of your concerns. Please call the office. We have had two. So we've got like a 2.4 business rating. And, you know, my idea is, you know, if I have a potential client who's looking at it, they'll usually just laugh. Try to, you know, work on the, you know, have you, you know, oh, they're harassing me. They've lied to me. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. You know, I just try to reply, you know, we're always here to address your concerns. Please contact customer service. I would just try to keep it generic like that for you to have. All right. The last slide, trying to keep all of you on time. I want to say thank you so much because we're right at 1:30 and I hope that you're enjoying your time that's here. Mike will please make this PowerPoint will be available to you so you can get it. But when you're breaking down your newsletter content or when you're breaking down your information, make sure that you're giving your customers what they want to know. Okay, what is their problem? How do you fix their problem? And how can your agency be right for them? And these are some talking points for you to think about that when you're drafting your message and you're drafting your article to put out there, that you can strategically think about, okay, what's their problem? So when it says what, you know, your customer is asking, what's my problem? You know, and then try to break down what you want to do. So I'll give you guys a little bit of time to kind of go through this. And have this handout that's there. And then the last thing that, hold on, how do I make this? Okay, there we go. The last thing that I wanted to say is, you know, when you're thinking about marketing, what is your USP? And USP stands for unique selling proposition. And how do you create that memory point? So, you know, I will tell you that when I do speeches or when I go out and I do different things, I have worn costumes. I will sometimes do something a little eccentric to try to create that special memory point. Our logo is orange. We don't want the drab blue and gray and black and everything else. Our little chihuahuas here, we did win an advertising award back in 2009. This is the second rendition. And our original icon is not all collection agencies or pit bulls with this chihuahua. We call her Ari. Her name is Ari, A-R-I. And she sits on a laptop. It's really cute. Her nails are painted. And so when we went through a rebrand and I said to the marketing agency, keep her, lose her, whatever, she goes, no, she's staying. And so she changed our unique selling proposition to We Fetch Money. It's really short. It's very easy. It's cute. And, you know, I like to say that, you know, we have the pleasant persistence, you know, where they're just like the chihuahua. Yip, 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 yip. We're not going to destroy you. We're not going to harm you, but we're just there that yip, 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 yip. Give us the business. Give us the business. Give us the business. So I want to say, you know, I'm right at a little over 30 minutes, but I want to say thank you to everybody that stayed on the line with us today. I hope that I've answered your questions. Here's my phone number. Here's my email. Please feel free to reach out to me directly if you have anything. I always love the idea of entrepreneurship, love the idea of making our industry better and helping everybody to grow and to succeed. And I just want to say thank you so much. Mike, do you have anything that you wanted to add,
I'm just going to close things up. I think you've done an awesome job today, Melissa. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your expertise. It was incredibly thorough and comprehensive. And I know even as someone who's in the industry, I learned a couple of things today. So I'm sure everybody else walked away with more information. So that was great. Thank you. Also want to thank Florida Collectors Association for partnering with me for today's webinar. As Melissa mentioned, a recording of this will be posted in the next day or so to accountsrecovery.net. So be sure to check that out. Thanks to everybody who participated. And please stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. And I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their day. Thanks, everybody.